Hey, good morning and a good night, everybody. Today's daf is Bambasha Daf Kuf Yud Ches. We are holding on Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, second line of the page. Ve'omar le'rav papala abayi. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander and Arnav's wife and children, and Lili Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha La'ashalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we were in the middle of the questions that Rav Papa was posing to the different opinions about whether the Eretz Yisrael was Nischalka to the Yotzei Mitzrayim or was Nischalka to the Ba'ei Ha'aretz, right? We had these different possibilities of how exactly they worked out, the division of Eretz Yisrael. Was it based on who left Mitzrayim or was it based on who came into Eretz Yisrael? So the entire daf is still going to be in that series of questions that Rav Papa had. Remember, we had yesterday a simin for all of the questions that Rav Papa was going to raise. Simin, the Rav, Tzlov, Chad, Yosef, Ichbal, Menashe, Yichashev. So we're going to be going through a number of those questions. We're going to talk a little bit about the Taina of the Bnei Tzlov, Chad, a little bit about the Taina of the Bnei Yosef that appears in Sefer Yoshua by Chalukas Ha'aretz. The Gemara is going to tell us the great Chiddush of Abaye, who held that every single one of the Baye Ha'aretz got land, one way or the other. There was a way that there was no one that was left without land, and that's good. The Gemara is going to have it, other than the ones that Tanakh pointed out, right? Who complained? Then that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of Ayin Hara, because once we talk about the conversation that happened between Yoshua and the Bnei Yosef, who had their tainas about their portion of land, so we're going to see a discussion of Ayin Hara. Then the Gemara is going to talk about what happened to the Chelek Haaretz of the Mislonanim and the Adas Korach. We already saw that. What do you mean what happened? Nothing yet. They didn't get. So we're going to see a different brisa that says that Kalev and Yoshua got not only the land that was designated for the other Meraglim, but for the Mislonanim and the Adas Korach as well. And then the Gemara is going to discuss who exactly are these Mislonanim. We just referred to a group called the Mislonanim. Mislonanim just means complainers. That pretty much meaning who kvetches? Every Jew kvetches. So which Mislonanim are we talking about? So that's going to bring us all the way to the end of the daf. So let's begin second line from the top of the page on daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So Amar Le Rav Papa L'Abaye, Rav Papa says to Abaye, Bishlam L'Mandi Amar Le'Otim Mitzrayim. I understand very well, according to the opinion, that Eretz Yisrael is divided up among the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Haynu D'Katzvachan B'no Slavchad. So that's why B'no Slavchad had a taina on Moshe Rabbeinu when they said, Lama Yigara Shem Avinu Mitoch Mishpach Toki En Lo Bein. Why should our father be any worse just because he didn't have a son? Tenu Lanu Achuzo B'toch Achei Avinu. We want to get the Yerusha together with our father's brothers, because if Tzlavchad would have had a son, that son would have gotten the chelik of Tzlavchad, who himself was Miyotzei Mitzrayim. And therefore their taina is that since it was Nischalik Liyotzei Mitzrayim, our father deserves a portion since our father was from the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Had he had a son, that son would have received that portion. Now that he has only daughters, we should receive that portion. It makes perfect sense. El Lamandi Amar, Labaya Aretz. But if you assume that Eretz Yisrael was Nischalik to those who went into Eretz Yisrael, Amay Tzavchan, what are they crying about? What's their taina? Halesei Delishkol. Their father was not among the Baya Aretz to get a Chelek Baris. What are they saying? They should Yarshin from their father. Only people who went into Eretz Yisrael got a chelek. And even if he would have had a son, their father would not have had a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. So what was the taina of the daughters that they should be that they should receive a chelek that the son of their father would have had if he would have had a son? No, he wouldn't have had anything if he would have had a son, because Slavchad was not among the Baya Aretz. So answers the Gemara, it could be that it was the Baya Aretz Neschalka. But Ella Lechazara, the taina of the Bnos Slavchad was the Chazara v'litol b'nichse chefer, meaning even though the Eretz Yisrael is only neschalik to the Bayi Haaretz, the chelek of the Bnei Chefer, of the brothers of Slavchad, who did enter Eretz Yisrael goes back to Hefer, who was Miyotzi Mitzrayim, and Hefer is then Morish the Nachla to his Yorshim. Because remember, we said that even if you hold the Baya Aretz, but it works differently than most Yerushos. Most Yerushos only go in one direction, they go down the generations. But even if it was the Baya Aretz, so good, so we divide up how many portions there are based on the Baya Aretz, but then they're Morish it back to their father, who is Miyotzi Mitzrayim, and then it gets divided evenly among his descendants. So that's what they were saying, that even though the Baya Aretz and Slavchad is not among the Baya Aretz, but the Bnei Hefer are among the Baya Aretz, so they should get their portion, they should be Morishah back to Hefer, and then all of Hefer's descendants should get it evenly, so we should get Slavchad's portion of what would have come back down to us. So that is the discussion. That is the Taina of the Bnei Slavchad. So now the Gemara poses a different challenge. In Sefer Yoshua, we are told that at the time of Chalukas Haaretz, the Bnei Shevet Menashe ben Yosef, the Shevet of Menashe, had a Taina to Yoshua, why he gave them a Chelek that was equal to the rest of the Shvatim. After all, their population was so much greater than the population of the other Shvatim, and therefore their Taina was, we need more land. This isn't fair. So the Gemara says, well, let's try to understand their Taina. Bein lemandiyamar lebaya aretz nischalka, bein lemandiyamar liyotzi mitzrayim nischalka. So bish lemandiyam liyotzi mitzrayim. I understand very well that if the Eretz Yisrael is nischalik among the Yotzi Mitzrayim, haynu dekatzavchan b'nei Yosef. That's why they have a Taina. Dichsiv vayidabru b'nei Yosef. Pasuk says, vayidabru b'nei Yosef is Yoshua lemar. They went to Yoshua saying, Madua nasatli nachlu goral echad v'chevel echad v'ani amrav ad asher ko berchani Hashem. Why is it that we only got the same portion like everybody else? We are such a massive population. So we understand their Taina, that since their forefathers were from Yotzi Mitzrayim, had so many children in the Midbar, more so apparently than all the other Shvatim, so they should get a greater Nachla from the other Shvatim, because Eretz Yisrael is Neschalek to the Yotzi Mitzrayim, and if their father gets a Chelek like all the other fathers of the other Shvatim, the Nachla of each Shevet is going to be of each member of their Shevet is going to be a smaller Nachla than everybody else, than the members of all the other Shvatim, because you're cutting the pie into much tinier pieces since there's such a larger population. So I understand their complaint. Their complaint is, each of us is getting less. But if you hold the Baya Aretz, and Eretz Yisrael's Neschalek, for the Baya Haaretz, oh my Katzavchi, Kulushaku, what are they complaining about? Every member of the Shevet who's among the Baya Aretz is getting an equal portion. So and we're not cheshbening at all who was Yotzei Mitzrayim. So what kind of Taina do they have? Yes, you're the largest Shevet, and therefore each of you are getting a portion that's equal to everybody else's. So the Taina doesn't make any sense. So answers the Gemara, it wasn't because, their Taina was not because of their big population, but rather, Mishum Tfalim Davin Nefishiluhu, it's because a lot of the people of their Shevet were Yisomim Ketanim. They were people that were under the age of 20 years old, and therefore they don't get a Chelek Ba'aretz, not their own Chelek Ba'aretz, because they're under 20, and not a father's Chelek Ba'aretz, because the father was Mespa Midbar, and they didn't and was not Mibayu Aretz, and therefore didn't receive a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael. And Rashbam writes that you have to say that the Aviya Yisomim, who didn't have a brother who left Mitzrayim, who had sons or grandchildren that were over 20 when they came into Eretz Yisrael, because if that would have been the case, then those children who were Nichnas La'aretz would have gotten their portion, and then that would have gone back up the generations, then it would have been redivided and gone back down the generations. But the Taina was that these people aren't going to get anything, that they'll be left without anything. So Taras Chaim just wonders that it turns out that there are going to be Tfelim in Shevet Yosef that don't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. But we're about to see the next line of Gemara. Abai is going to tell us this Gevaldik HaChiddush, that there was no one among the Baya Aretz that didn't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. So Taras Chaim says, I don't understand. Literally the last line, the way the Rashbam just explained this line, is that these Tfalim were Baya Aretz who did not get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. How can the next line of Gemara say that there was no one among the Bayi Eretz who didn't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael? So he says, it's dochak to say that Abayi means to say that in the other Shvatim, outside of Menashe ben Yosef, there was no one that didn't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. But among the Bnei Menashe, there were tefillin that did not get a chelek. And he says also, Davenafishiluhu, the Lashon Davenafishiluhu, means that in other Shvatim also there were tefillin Yisom that didn't get a chelek in Eretz. It's just that in the Bnei Menashe was Nefishiluhu, there were more Bnei Menashe that didn't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. So how could Abaye say that there was no one that didn't get a chelek in Eretz? So even if you want to say that Abaye means there was no one outside of Shevet Menashe, that doesn't fit either, because the Gemara is saying that among those people who were tefillin that didn't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, more of them, a higher percentage, were in Bnei Menashe. But that implies that there were in other Shvatim as well. So that's why the Toras Chaim says, it seems that Rishonim hold this way, that the Gemara is not referring to Tefillin Yisomim. It means that just like Bnei Menashe were Nisrabe in the Midbar more than the other Shvatim, with people who were Bnei Yisrael Maila in the who were 20 years and above in the second counting, so too they had more Banim Ketanim, younger than Bnei Yisrael, that did not get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. They only got the nachla of the fathers that went into Eretz Yisrael with them, and there wasn't enough in that chelik to support all of these banim ketanim, that they needed more to be able to support all of their children, meaning they had larger families, they had younger families, and therefore they needed more. So it wasn't that they weren't getting anything, it's that they got something, it just wasn't sufficient, it wasn't going to be enough to support their much, much larger families. That is how the Taras Chaim seems to learn this line of Gemara. So now let's see this line of Abaye that we just referred to. So Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, Shema Mina, we see from the complaints of the Bnei Menashe that Lo Avachad Delo Shakil, that there was no one among the Bnei Yisrael who went into Eretz Yisrael and did not get a chelek of Eretz Yisrael, which is a huge chiddush, right? Meaning logically, the Rashbam points out, there should have been that possibility, regardless of whether you hold that Eretz Yisrael is Nischalek L'Baya Aretz or Eretz Yisrael is Nischalek from Yotzei Mitzrayim. The Rashbam points out both shitos should hold that there is a possibility that there were those who did not receive a nachla. If you assume that it was nischalka liyotzei Mitzrayim, so it could have been that there were people who were there at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but were under the age of 20 at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore on their own account they don't get a chelek. And their fathers died in Mitzrayim, so they don't have anything from the fathers. So it would turn out that such people don't have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. If they were 15 years old when they left Mitzrayim, and Nebuchadnezzar had already lost their father by the time they left Mitzrayim, so such people wouldn't have Mikoach Aviyam, because their father didn't leave Mitzrayim. They wouldn't have Mikoach Atzmam, because they were less than 20 years old. So that should have happened in a large population of 3 million people. You're going to imagine that there's going to be some 15-year-old who's a Yasom, right? And yet, that's the great Chiddush, that Leman Yom Liyotzei Mitzrayim Nischal Garetz, Abaye is saying, there was nobody who was under 20 who didn't have a father. And even and according to the other Shita, that Lebaya Aretz Nischal Garetz, it should have been possible that there were Baya Aretz who were less than 20 years old and therefore couldn't get their own Nachla, but all of those who received, who didn't have their own Nachla, were somehow Mekabel and Nachla from their fathers, from their parents, because the yorshim of their fathers, meaning let's say they had brothers who were over 20 years old, or first cousins, Bnei Achi Aviyam, who got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and we said, what happens to that chelik? It goes back up the generations, and goes back down, and gets divided evenly. So just like Bnei Slavchad got a chelik mikoach, the Chazoras HaNachla, because of that idea that that the Nachla goes backwards in that generation. So there was no one who went into Eretz Yisrael under the age of 20 that didn't have a Morish to be Morish them a portion of Nachla. So that's Abaye's great Chiddush. That even though logically it could have happened according to either opinion that there was somebody that didn't have a Nachla, it just didn't happen. That lo avachad lo shakil. How do I know lo avachad lo shakil? Di sal kadai to avachad lo shakil. Because if you're going to assume that there was someone who went into Eretz Yisrael that didn't get a Nachla, ibay le mitzvah. Why aren't they complaining? Everyone else seems to be complaining. The Bnei Slavchad complained. Bnei Yosef complained. So why wouldn't they be complaining? Elamai must be that there was no one that didn't get, and therefore there were no complaints. And you can't say, oh, there were those that complained, but it just wasn't mentioned in the Navi, because the Navi mentioned the rest of the complainers. Why did it mention the Bnei Yosef? Why did it mention the Bnei Slavchad in the Torah? So it must be that that there were no other complaints. V'chi tema, maybe you're going to say, you can't bring a raya from the fact that the Tanakh does not record their complaints. Maybe the Tzavach v'ahane kasvekra. Maybe only those who complained and it did something for them, it got them somewhere, that's where the Pasuk writes about it, because the Bnei Slavchad complained, and the halacha was taka that they get. The Bnei Menashe complained, and they were given an Eitzah. So that, the Tzavach v'loa hani, lo kasvekra, but someone who cried out and it didn't help him, the Pasuk doesn't write about it. So it could be that there was someone who was Tzavach, it's just that he wasn't answered. So it says Gemara, habnei Yosef tzavchi v'loa hani v'kasvinu kra, but that's not true, because the Bnei Yosef also complained, and it didn't do anything for them. The Bnei Yosef didn't get anything. All their crying didn't do anything for them. Yeshua didn't add any Nachla to them, because they couldn't, what was he going to do? He couldn't take a Nachla away from one of the other Shvatim and give it to them. So, and yet, their Taina still appears in the Navi. So, Enochinami, for Bnei Slavchad it worked. For the Bnei Yosef, Bnei Menashe Ben Yosef, it did not work. So anyone that complained gets mentioned in Tanakh, and therefore you see that nobody else complained other than the Bnei Slavchad and the Bnei Menashe. So says Gemara, not necessarily a raya. It could be that there were members of Ba'i Ha'aretz who did not receive a Nachla, and it could be they complained about it. But the Torah doesn't mention it, and the Navi doesn't mention it, because it didn't accomplish anything for them. You're going to tell me the Bnei Yosef, it also didn't accomplish anything for them? No, Hasam Eitzatova Kamashalan. It did accomplish something for them. It accomplished that Yeshua gave him an Eitzah. That Yeshua didn't change the Dinim, he didn't change the Yerusha, he didn't take away a Chelek from anybody else, but at least he gave him an Eitzah of what to do. And therefore, the Navi records it. It could be there were 1,000 other people that complained, but there was no Eitzah, and there was no Psak, and there was no nothing. It was okay, you're going to have to live with it. But at least the Bnei Menashe, it led to an Eitzah. What was the Eitzah? That a person should be careful from Ayin Hara, meaning what was their complaint? Their complaint was, we have so many children, we're so successful, we became so much bigger. Yeshua says, shh, you don't want to draw attention to all of that success. You don't want to draw attention to all the good things in your life. And that's why Yeshua was telling the Bnei Yosef, if you're so successful, you're so many people, go to the forest somewhere and settle there where people won't see you, because if people see that kind of success, there's going to be Ayin Hara. Amar Lahu, Yoshua says to the Bnei Yosef, I can't be Mosif to Nachla to you, so I'll give you an Eitzah. Luchu v'achbu atzmecha meyarim. Go hide in the forest where people aren't around, and you'll cut down some trees and you'll build houses in the forest. Shlo tishlot b'chem ayin ra, so that there won't be an ayin hara because of your great numbers. And in order to teach us this, the taina of the Bnei Yosef is mentioned in the Navi, but it could be that other people were not mekabel chelek ba'aretz and they also complained. But not every complaint that a Jew has is going to be mentioned in the Navi, because it doesn't lead to any special teaching. Now, the pashtus of the psukim is that Yeshua was telling the Bnei Yosef, look, if you don't have enough space to live, go to some space that nobody lives in, like the forest, and start set. build a new community where there are no communities built, right? It had nothing to do with Ayin Hara. The Pashtus, when he told them, go to the forest and build yourself some homes there and cut down the trees and build, you know, some wooden homes. The Pashtus, he was just telling them, you need to come up with housing solutions. When there's a housing crisis, you need to, so put your heads together and come up with some solutions for the housing crisis. So go to the forest, and that's, that's an Eitzah. But the Rashbam writes that the Gemara doesn't want to assume that way, because what exactly was he telling them? Whose forest are they supposed to go to? If it's the forest that belong to other Shvatim, they have no right to go to forests that belong to other Shvatim and take that. And if it's forests that belong to their own Shevet, they don't need Yeshua to tell them that they could do that. They could have figured that out on their own. They were smart enough to realize exactly what, you know, the topography of the, you know, of the land that they inherited was, and to figure out how to use it. They don't need special permission from Yeshua, and that's why the Gemara wants to darshan. This must be about Ayin Hara. This must not be about where they can live. It was about where you ought to live so as not to attract Ayin Hara. So the Gemara brings, what was the Bnei Yosef's response when Yeshua said, you better be careful with Ayin Hara, go hide somewhere. Samalei, they said to him, we're not worried about Ayin Hara. Anan Mizara di Yosef. We are from the offspring of Yosef. Delo Sholta Be Ein Abisha. There is no Ayin Ra'a against the Zara di Yosef. Tuchsiv, because the Pasuk says, Ben Poras Yosef, Ben Poras Ale Ayin. Savam Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Avo says, we darshan from here, Al Tikri Ale Ayin, Ela Ole Ayin. Don't read it as Ale Ayin, but rather Ole Ayin, meaning that Yaakov Avinu is blessing Yosef, that he and his offspring are going to be Ola on the Ayin. They're going to rule over the Ayin Hara, and the Ayin Hara is not going to control them. So therefore, we don't have to worry about Ayin Hara. We don't have to go to the forest. We're okay. We're Mizara di Yosef. Or alternatively, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina Amar, Mehacha, that their response to Yoshua was from the following. We're from the Zara di Yosef, and we don't have Ayin Hara. You know why? Because when Yaakov Avinu was giving a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe, v'yidgu larov bekerev ha'aretz, that he says, you're like fish bekerev ha'aretz, which is a mixed metaphor a little bit, because fish typically don't do so great bekerev ha'aretz, they do better in the water. But v'yidgu larov bekerev ha'aretz, ma dagim shabiyam mayim mechasim aleim. You're like fish, because just like fish, the water covers them. The ein ayin ra'a sholet, the ein ayin sholet esbem, and therefore the ayin hara is not able to have any power over them, any control over them, because they're all covered by the water. Sav zara shel Yosef ein ha'ayin sholet esbem. So too, the zara di Yosef is not controlled at all by the ayin hara. So the pashtus is that since the water covers the fish, people don't see them. And if people don't see them, then they're not damaged by the Ayin Hara. However, the Torah's Chaim says that can't be what it means, because water tends to be clear, and you are able to see fish in the water. You go to a pond and you see fish swimming around in the water. And furthermore, it wouldn't be similar to the Zara di Yosef, because Zara di Yosef are visible to people. So what do you mean? They're like the Dagim Shabiyam. If the reason Dagim Shabiyam are not subject to Ayin Hara is because they're underwater and nobody sees them, that implies that had they been in a place where people can see them, then they would be subject to Ayin Hara. Well, guess what? The Zara di Yosef are where people can see them, so they should also be subject to Ayin Hara. So that's why the Torah Chaim says, now that the Indian of Ayin Hara is that there's some sort of spark or hashpa'ah in a negative way, that's mazik, that comes from the eye of the person who's looking and damages the person who's being looked at. So as long as there's something being mafsik, there's some protective barrier between the person who's looking and the person who's being looked at, or that which is being looked at, then the Ayin Hara is not able to have an impact. So that's what the Torah Chaim says. Yes, you could see the fish in the water, but there's a barrier. There's water. So as long as there's a barrier, then it's not going to be able to have the impact. So that's why the Dagim Shabiyam have this protective barrier, and so too the Bnei Yosef, it's ki'ilu, they have a protective barrier around them that the Ayin Hara is not able to affect them. In the Yifei Tovar on Bereshis Rabbi, he says, well, wait a second, Yeshua should have known this, because V'yidgul Rav B'Kerav Haaretz was a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe. Yeshua is from Ephraim. So Yeshua should have had the same family traditions. So what kind of conversations is Yeshua saying, you guys better go to the forest because Ayin Hara is going to be Sholeh B'chem. And they say, hello, we're from Zara de Yosef. He's also from Zara de Yosef. But his taina was, Yifei Torah says, that they shouldn't be Somech Alanes, that relying on the fact that they're impervious to Ayin Hara because they're Mizara de Yosef is relying on something that is supernatural. Now one might argue the whole thing is supernatural. Ayin Hara is also supernatural, but apparently it's not. Meaning, apparently, that's built into the Bria that people can do damage by looking askance at other people. The Chazon Ish writes about this in the Likutim on Choshen Mishpat in Babasa Simul Chaf Aleph, where he says that Misodos Habria, that it's one of the Sodos Habria, that a person with his Makshava can cause negative things in the Olam HaMa'aseh, that even with thoughts alone, negative things can happen in the actual physical real world. And a machshava kala can cause all sorts of churban on in the gashmius dika realm. And he says, just like it says in our sugya, lo mistafina me'ena bisha, that when people are mispoil on a certain hatzlacha, that people have a certain, they're impressed or it makes an impression on them when there's a certain hatzlacha that other people have. So that creates a sense of sakana. He says, kol bidei shemayim, and anything that's not gozer min hashemayim, anything that was not nigzer min hashemayim against somebody is not going to happen to somebody. But when it's nigzer, it's just that you have some sort of zuchus that's being matzil you or whatever. So Ayin Hara brings about a new discussion up in Shemayim, that when there's an Ayin Hara, it will cause wait a second, does that person really deserve this success? Let's revisit everything, and it causes a new diyun. So he says maybe sometimes a person would be zocha to live alpineis, and then to be successful because of that. And Ayin Hara will cause that he's going to have to live alpiteva and not alpineis. And you find this all over Shas. This concept of Ayin Hara comes up in Maseches Brachos. A few times comes up in Sechas, but Metzia, there are even halachos that relate to Ayin Hara. The Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Sim Kuf Mem Alef Siv Vav says that you shouldn't have two brothers get alios one right after the other, nor a son right after a father. Right, every Gabbai knows that you don't give a son right after a father, or two brothers one right after the other. What's the reason? It's Ayin Hara. That look at this, that this family gets all of the alios, that they get all of the that they're so successful that everyone's looking to honor them. So if it's one after the other, that's Ayin Hara. In the Tshuvas Adnei Paz, quoted by the Pesach Tshuva in Yardaya, he says that we have to be choshish mishum Ayin Hara when it comes to calling two children by the same name. That you shouldn't call two of your sons by the same name. Not such a common practice anyway. Maybe that's why. I think the boxer George Foreman had all of his sons were named George, right? George the second, George the third, George the fourth. So Jews don't do that. Is that Ayin Hara as well? In Tshuva Sigrus Moshe, Nevin Ezer, Chel Gimel Simul Chavav, he writes that we have to be choshish for Ayin Hara, but you shouldn't be too choshish, right? You shouldn't go crazy about it. He says a lot of these things in the metaphysical realm, the Gemara is an expression in Psachim that mandalo kapid lo kaptin in badei, that if a person is not too nervous about these things, then they don't have too much of an impact on him. That these things have a much greater impact on the people that are nervous about them than the people that are not nervous about them. So a person shouldn't run his life based on these kinds of concerns. Okay, so that's the discussion of Ayin Hara and the Bnei Yosef and what exactly the give and take was with Yoshua. So now the Gemara goes back to what we had mentioned yesterday in the Braisa, that Meraglim, Yoshua v'Kalev notlu chalkam, that Yoshua and Kalev received the chelek of the Meraglim. So minanimili, where do we see that Yeshua and Kalev took the chelek in Eretz Yisrael that would have gone to the Meraglim? So Amarula Damar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Vayimusa Anashim Motzei Dibas Haaretz Ra B'Magev L'Fnei Hashem, V'Yoshua B'Nun V'Kalev B'Nifuna Chayu Min HaAnashim Ahein, that the survivors among the Meraglim were Yeshua B'Nun and Kalev B'Nifuna, and they were the only ones, Min HaAnashim Ahein Malachim L'Soris Haaretz, from those people who went to scout out Eretz Yisrael, they were the only survivors. So my chayu, what do you mean they were the only ones that lived? Ilei mechayu mamish, if you mean to tell me, literally, they were the only ones that remained alive and that they didn't die b'mageifa like all the other meraglim. Well, I know that already, because v'aksiv krachrina, there's another pasuk that tells me that, because after the Jewish people are counted in Arvos Moav, the pasuk says, v'lo noser me'ish, Ki im Kalev ben Yefunah v'Yoshua ben Nun. Right, the pasuk begins with Ve'ela lo yish mipkudei Moshe v'Aaron ha'Kohen asher paktu as bnei Yisrael b'midbar Sinai. Kemar Hashem lahem Moshe masu b'midbar, that they were all decreed to die in the midbar, and they did, except for Yoshua ben Nun and Kalev ben Yefunah. So we know that they're the only survivors among the meraglim. Ela mai chayu. So what does chayu come to teach me? Must be shechayu b'chelkam, that they got to live in the chelek of Eretz Yisrael that would have been earmarked for the Meraglim, that they took the chelek that would have been for the Meraglim. The Marsha points out that the Lashon of Chayos or Chayu is because Eretz Yisrael is called an Eretz HaChayim, meaning when we say Chayu, I understand why you'd use the term Chayu if it means that they survived, they lived and others died. So Chay means live. But why would that mean that they got the chelek in Eretz Yisrael? What does that have to do with Chayu? So the Marsha says, because Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz HaChayim. Chayim. So when you say that they lived, it means that they had a chelek in Eretz HaChayim. Pasuk in Tehillim says, "Es halech lefnei Hashem ba'artzos HaChayim." Artzos means Eretz Yisrael, both in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. The Meraglim didn't have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael and Olam Hazeh, nor a chelek in Olam Haba. They appear in Mishnah in Masech Sanhedrin, parachelek of those who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. But Yeshua and Kalev were chayu in shtei ha'olamos. The Marsha points out they were chayu in Eretz Yisrael and Olam Hazeh, and they have a chelek in Olam Haba as well. So that's the meaning of chayu, and that's how we know that Yeshua and Kalev received the portion of Eretz Yisrael that would have been given to the Meraglim. Mislonim v'adas korech lo hayu len chelek baretz. And then the Braisa said, but the Mislonim, the complainers, and the Adas Korach didn't have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. So says Gemara, really? V'atanya, Meraglim, Mislonim, v'adas korech, Yeshua v'Kalev, not to chelkam. We have another Braisa that says, it's not that Yeshua and Kalev took the chelek of the Meraglim, and then separate category, Mislonim and Adas Korach didn't get a chelek at all. No, Yeshua and Kalev took the chelek of all of them, of the Meraglim, the Mislonim, the Adas Korach, it all went to Yeshua and Kalev. So it's a stira in Braisos. So it says Mar Lo Kasha, Mar Makish Mislonim and Meraglim, Mar Lo Makish Mislonim and Meraglim. It's a machlokas tanoim between these two Braisos, that one of the Braisos assumes that there's a hekish between the Mislonim and the Meraglim, and just like the pasuk indicates to us that Yeshua and Kalev got the chelek of the Meraglim, so too they got the chelek of the Mislonim. And the other one says that we don't make a hekesh between the Mislonim and the Meraglim. And in Achinam, Yeshua and Kalev got the chelek of the Meraglim, but not the chelek of the Mislonim. The Mislonim simply didn't get a chelek. So the Gemara brings a brisa through which we will see the source of this idea that the Meraglim and Mislonim didn't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael to be morish to their own children who entered Eretz Yisrael. And we're going to see this concept of a possible hekish between the Mislonim and the Meraglim that we just said is subject to a machlokas tanoim. Titanya, we have a brisa. It says about the title of the Bnos Slavchad to Moshe Rabbeinu. They said our father died and he didn't, and he was not among the Adas Korach. Ki b'chet omeis, he died because of his own sins, not because he was part of the Adas Korach. Ubanim lo hayu lo, and he didn't have any children. So the brisa explains Avinu meis b'midbar. Their title was our father died in the midbar. Zet Slavchad. Who's Avinu? That's very clearly Slavchad. The Rashbam points out, yeah, they're the Bnos Slavchad. Obviously, Avinu is Slavchad. What's the chiddush of that line? So he says, yeah, ain't a chinam. It's just that agav that we're being mefarish the rest of the pasuk. So we're mefarish that phrase as well. Or he says it could be that we're missing some words from this brisa. And the brisa really means to tell me a little bit more. There's a brisa in the Sifri in Parshas Pinchas that says as follows. Avinu meis b'midbar, and then it adds a whole bunch. That Rabbi Kiva omer nemer kan midbar v'nemer la'lan midbar. Ma midbar omer kan slavchad av midbar omer la'lan slavchad. Umalamendo akasov shechetel shel slavchad shemach maso meis b'midbar. He shekoshi shei Yetzer B'Midbar B'Shabbos. That by the parsha of the Mekoshesh, it also mentions Midbar, and over here it says Midbar. So you see that Slavchad was the Mekoshesh Yetzer, and that's what they were saying, Ki B'Chet Omeis, that he was the Mekoshesh Yetzer. V'humas B'Skila, and he was Chayiv Skila, he was killed with Skila, like the Torah says, happens to the Mekoshesh. And in Masech HaShabbos, Taf Tzadivav, it quotes the sheet of Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Shimon who's Cholik, and says that he was from the Ma'apilim to be Ola Teretz Yisrael after the Gezerah that they were all going to die in the Midbar. He was one of the ones that pushed to be Ola Teretz Yisrael against that Gezerah. So that's who Tzlofchan was. So okay, so the Sefri adds in those extra lines. But anyway, Avinu Meis B'Midbar, that's a reference to Tzlofchan. But then they went on to say V'hu lo hayo betocha Eda ze adas meraglim. He was not among the Eda, meaning he was not one of the 10 meraglim who died b'mageifa. Hanoadim al Hashem elu mislonim. Nor was he among those who were mislonim in the Midbar, and we'll see soon who those are. Ba'adas Korach k'mashma'o. Nor was he ba'adas Korach, meaning he was neither one of the meraglim, nor one of the mislonim, nor one of the adas Korach, and therefore he should get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So they were saying the meraglim, the mislonim, adas Korach don't get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael to give to their children, but our father wasn't in any of those three categories, and therefore he yes gets a chelik in Eretz Yisrael to give to his children. And we're his children. So you see that that those groups didn't get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. However, it doesn't say clearly in the Braisa what happened to their chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So the chelik the Kamaraglim, we know Chayu min Anashim Yoshua and Kalev got that chelik. We had a Joshua already, and since it mentions the Meraglim and the Sonim in the same pasuk, so there's Machlokas Tanaim whether we should make a hekish between them. So Mar Makish Meslonim Meraglim, the Tan of the Brisa that assumes that Yoshua and Kalev got the chelik of the Meslonim as well makes this hekish between the Meslonim and the Meraglim. Umar Lo Makish Meslonim Meraglim, and the Tan of the Brisa that thought that the Yoshua and Kalev did not get the chelik of the Meslonim. Only the Chelik of the Meraglim will say that there is no Hekish. Because even though they're mentioned in the same pasuk, it doesn't say V'hanoadim with a Vav, the Rashbam points out. That would teach me to be Makish then. It just says Hanoadim. So therefore, we're not Makish then. We don't link them to one another. Now, the Brisa had said that Yoshua and Kalev got the Chelik of the, according to one of the Brises, the Chelik of the Meslonim. So if Papa thought that Brisa means to tell me, who are the Meslonim? The people who complained, the Bnei Yisrael who complained to Moshe Rabbeinu, after they went 3 days without any mayim in the midbar, vayilonu amal Moshe lemor manishte. They said they complained to Moshe Rabbeinu, "What are we supposed to drink 3 days without water?" So varmalei Rav Papa Abayi. So Rav Papa said to Abayi, "Ulamand makish masonim l'ragim." Think about that for a second. The majority of Klal Yisrael complained to Moshe Rabbeinu that they didn't have water. If all of those people, the majority of Klal Yisrael, lost their chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and you assume that Yoshua and Kalev got all of the chalakim of the Meslonim, so Ichbal Yoshua and Kalev Yotel Kula Eretz Yisrael. Yoshua and Kalev get all of Eretz Yisrael. That's wild that they got such a large portion of Eretz Yisrael. It's still the Lashon Guzma the Gemara is using the Rashbam points out because it's not Kol Eretz Yisrael, but it's Rove of Eretz Yisrael because it was Rove of the people that were complaining. So Amalei Meslonim Sheba Adas Korach Chamin. No, we've misidentified the Meslonim. The Meslonim are not the majority of Klal Yisrael who complained about not having water for 3 days. The Meslonim are the 250 people that followed Adas Korach, that were part of Adas Korach. So it's Meslonim and Adas Korach are not really separate categories of people. They're really the same category of person. So now the Gemara goes back to the discussion about Chalukas Ha'aretz, whether it was Yotzei Mitzrayim or Leba'ei Ha'aretz. So in Sefer Yoshua, it says that the six families of Shevet Menashe received a Nachla Ba'aretz, and Benos Slavchad received a portion based on what Moshe Rabbeinu had told them, and together they got 10 chalakim. So the Gemara brings the kash of Rav Papa that we can prove from the psukim that Eretz Yisrael was neschalik liyotze Mitzrayim and not lebaya aretz. I understand very well if you assume that it's Yotzei Mitzrayim. That's what the pasuk means when it says Ve'yipluchavli Menashe Asara, that the Bnei Menashe took 10 portions in Eretz Canaan. Shita de Shita Bat Bate Avos, six of the six Mishpachos that are mentioned in Sefer Yoshua, Varba, the two, and the four Chalakim of the Bnos Slavchad, the Chalik of Slavchad, the Chalik of Hefer that went through Slavchad, the Chalik Bechora that Slavchad had, and the Chalik of their father's brother, who was among the Yotzei Mitzrayim and died without any children. So Ha Asara, that's how you end up with 10 for the Bnei Menashe. Eleman Diyamar, Lebaya Aretz, but if you assume that Eretz Yisrael is Neschalik, only Lebaya Aretz, Taman Yehuda Avu, it should have only been 8 Chalakim, Shita Deshita Batei Avos, the 6 of the 6 Batei Avos, Vitrei Dida, and the 2 Chalakim, or the two Chalakim of the Bnos Slavchad, the Chalak Pashut and the Chalak Bechora, that they got in the Chasim of Hefer, because that gets passed back down to them. So, but Slavchad himself was not among the Bayi Aret, so you lost that Chalak, you don't get that. So Atamanya should have only been 8 Chalakim in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, asks on the one who's asking the Kasha, Ula Taimeich, and according to you, does it really work out? Ula Mandi Amar, Liyotzi Mitzrayim, Nischalka Aretz, Tisha Havu. Even according to the Mandi Amar, that Liyotzi Mitzrayim, Nischalka Aretz, it really would have only been 9 and not 10. Elamai Yislach Lememer, so what do you say? Because the Bnos Slavchad only got, we mentioned in the Mishnah, they only got 3 Chalakim, not 4 Chalakim. So what are you going to say? Chad Acha Da'aba Havaluhu, it must be that Slavchad had a brother who died without any children, and that's the 10th, meaning if you have the 3 in our Mishnah plus the 6 that are mentioned in Sefer Yoshua, that's a total of 9. So where would you get a 10th from? So we said, oh, no, that 10th one was that Slavchad had a brother who died without any children, and therefore Slavchad yarshins him and Bno Slavchad get that Yerusha. Okay, so you could just as easily say, Achanami, Trei Achida Ba'avulu. He could have had several brothers who died without any children. So you could always fill in the numbers that way as well. And Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Titania with the Brisa that proves this point. Okay, have a wonderful day, everybody. A good night.